The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
It's from now for Grady! Oh! It's Whiten! He sends Dundee United down!
Gallagher should be scored and a brilliant goal!
Neil McGann for Dundee!
Sends one in!
Oh, Brian Herman with a header! Dundee have taken the lead!
Good ball in.
Knocks across by Faulkner!
And a done chuck!
Nice ball inside! It's in! Dundee have scored! An amazing winner that will be!
Sprinting from the midfield, Georgian Nzadze! Absolutely brilliant!
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. So let me ask you something. What do Wham and Gary Boyer have in common? Absolutely nothing, because Gary Boyer managed to make Christmas number one at his first attempt. With me this week, as always, Paldry.
That's probably your best intro yet.
That was just off the cuff.
What a guy.
The talent.
Honestly.
And this week we have got a special guest. Well, we'll just see his name, Cammy Kerr.
Cammy. Guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
That's no problem at all. And
full of enthusiasm.
We've also got a special episode coming up in the next few days as well with a player, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. Kind of going to guess what it is, isn't it?
It's like
so. No doubt this lot.
No. Well.
Well. But listen, who better to speak to about the air game than Cammy Kerr? I mean, we went down to the game. I think we're all in high hopes. Paul had 10-0 Dundee.
Yeah,
10-0. Like that was your guess for that one.
It's close.
Paul. Every week it's went from 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, and now we're going to go teams in. It's up to 10-0. We're in the double digits.
Yeah.
You're not asking for much.
He's not putting any pressure on you either. So
stop the mistake.
But
blindly.
What a game. Let's be honest, we went down to 10 men quite early, but myself thought we controlled that game before that, and we controlled the game during that, and them having a man set off, it just kind of knocked the stuffing out of them, and we went on to win it, and I felt like it was 3 points that were totally deserved by Dundee. Cammy, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think playing in the game, it was a game that we dominated from the start. I thought we started right on the front foot. I think we had 3 or 4 corners right at the start of the game. I thought, right, good start. And even, you're right, even after 10 men, they had more of the ball, but nothing that I thought really caused us much problems. Mm-hmm. I thought we looked solid. We kind of had to sit in and deal with the 10 men up until half time anyway, at least, till maybe done a wee formation change. But nothing was really up anyway, so I knew that we wouldn't have too much to change, and it would be much of the same kind of second half, keep at them, kind of hit them on the break, which I thought we were doing really well. I think we had McMullen on the break, we had Rudden, Williamson, Luke McCowan. I think they all were basically boys booked. I think the front four, kind of just really getting at them on the break, and obviously they had the sending off as well, and I think that just kicked us on even more. Found the spaces. You know, Rudden kind of holding it up, two wingers, you know, getting forward, getting shots at goal, and as you say, a really, really kind of strong performance from everyone, and one that I think, you know, obviously the fans were delighted with, but for me, on a personal note, for the team, I thought it was really just a really good performance from everyone there.
And even better so that we went above air to the top spot, so that's us over Christmas and New Year, like leaders at the table. Obviously, nobody's jumping the gun a bit here, but it's good to get there.
Apart from me.
Paul's away booking European trips now and
certainly am.
Thinking ahead, years ahead. But yeah, it was good to finally hit that top spot, and for the team. Obviously, start of the season has been a little bit stuttery, inconsistent, yeah. But the team have just found their feet the last, what was that? Is that seven wins on the trot?
Seven wins on the trot, yeah.
Ten without defeat?
There or thereabouts.
Yeah, thereabouts, and we just seem to be on that fine run of form that you want to be in the winter. But, I mean, what was it like in the dressing room to eventually now get to the top of that league?
Yeah, no, it's good. I think the squad that we have are realistic, and the fact that nothing is done in terms of just because we went top maybe for the first time. There's so much, and I'm not just trying to keep a level head on things. I'm just saying it how it is. There's so many hard games to come. There'll be knockbacks. There'll be setbacks. There'll be good points. But it's all about just kind of staying level head. And the group that we have I'd like to think they're like that.
Yeah.
Great that we're top over Christmas, but that doesn't give you any reason or you know, rhyme to be thinking that you're going to do things and go and win the league at a canter. All it means is it gives you that wee bit of time to go and enjoy Christmas with your families, reset again, and then you've got to come back raring to go because we've got such a tough, you know, however many games, 17, 16 games left to go and, you know, hopefully put on a title charge. That's what you want to go and do.
Yeah, the championship's notorious for just being
Affy tick,
yeah. A better would be a horrible league because everybody beats everybody at one point. And you even look at your Partick Thistles, who at one stage looked like that they were going to build up a gap between between teams. And then they went on a run of form that's obviously been a good run of form for us.
Yeah, it's been great.
And then they've kind of like picked up again and took points off of air last week, and we had the game called off, and it's worked out well for us. So it just shows you again that everybody can take points off everybody here, and but we've managed to, like I say, we're putting a good run of form together in the team.
Yeah, it's important. It's important, obviously, as players, you're desperate to keep that up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, confidence builds when you're winning games, but it's up to us to keep it going. And now the fact is that if you are top of the league, every team's desperate to beat you. I think that was probably the case as it was anyway, but you know, there's more emphasis on that, so we need to make sure that you don't take your foot off the gas. And certainly from my point of view, it's just got to, you know, be more of the same and more, and you keep pushing on, and as you say, take nothing for granted. That's the biggest thing here is you know, we've just went top and there's teams right on your tail. You've got Queen's Park, who are in good form. You talk about Partick, who had a lot of injuries, but they've got players coming back now. You know, they've picked up again, and suddenly they're right back in it. So we're under no illusions how difficult it's going to be, but confident at the same time that we can go and do something.
I feel we should be confident. I mean, for me, obviously, the red card, when I seen it coming through, I was against Ayr, I was thinking, oh no, here we go. But when you watch it, it didn't look like anybody hit the panic button.
Nah,
looked...
Except
like
Mulligan,
the team just straight in a bath, son. You wouldn't even have known that Dundee were a man down. You know, they just kind of. I mean, is that kind of? I don't know. Has there been like a mentality shift in the team? You know, to grind these things out, or
let's just say it's difficult when, like, last season was difficult because I honestly feel that if things were just slightly different in certain points of the season or certain key moments, we would have stayed up. And that's, you could talk about hindsight, it's all right saying that now.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I'd like to think that's an honest opinion. And you know, we missed key moments at key times, key decisions with players or whatever. You know, things that just didn't go your way, genuine bad luck. But when you're not used to winning games, it takes its toll on you. And, you know, that can have a slight hangover at the start of the season. And there needs to be, as you say, that mentality shift. But I go back to the kind of, I think the manager and that I'd like to think they've created a kind of an atmosphere, not calm, but they have in a way that's the way his personality is, and that he's, you know, level-headed. So when things do go against you in a game, you know, it doesn't mean that the outcome's going to change. It can change. But it's the process that you do to try and, you know, keep it a positive outcome for everyone. And I think that's what we've done on Friday was, right, okay, got a red card, we're down to 10 men, but we can still get something out of this. And it's all about just maybe adjusting a few things, right? We might need to sit in for 15, 20, get to half time, reassess. And we went out again, and obviously the game took care of itself. Luke McCowan scored two great goals. I mean, he's probably had a stop-start season in terms of being in and out. But that's the form and that he can show, because we see it, you know, every day in training with him. He's a top player, so good for him to get up and running with a few goals again. Eh?
Yeah. Someone number six now.
Look at it.
Yeah. Six goals now.
Not bad.
He's fucking the charts. He's overtook you. Yeah. He's sitting drunk with you, so.
What? That would be amazing.
Yeah.
As long as I'm no bottom of that chart, I'll be I'm fine.
But such a big game for Dundee. And the last time we were there, we started off well, and as soon as Ayr kind of had a stride, and also they had the big main man, Akinyemi, who is unknown to everybody, and he just kind of ruled that game, didn't he? And
yeah.
They were well-deserved victors, but how did the manager prepare yourselves from what happened last time down there to going up there with, let's put this to rights? What was the kind of the week leading up to it?
To be fair, the week was quite, I wouldn't say relaxed, but there wasn't an emphasis on, you know, he played great, he scored and goal. Because I honestly, and I'm, you know, that I'm going to, you know, I don't want to say things out of turn. I honestly think that our defenders, you know, you've got Big Sweeney, Ashcroft, you know, French, McGee, whoever may need to fill in centre-half, they're more than capable. I know that Sweens will probably be the first to admit that it wasn't his best game down there, but Sweens is a top player, you know, and he's more than capable of dealing with guys like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, sometimes it comes down to how you do on the night, and that's just sometimes the way of it, you know. And I thought the defenders dealt with the big striker really well. They were on form, but as you go back to the week, it was just a relaxed week and staying focused, and as we go back to it, it's the next game. That was kind of the attitude going into that. And obviously it's just before Christmas as well. You want to be, you don't want to be going away Christmas with your family and it's, you know, leaving a wee sour taste in your mouth at a defeat. Boys were desperate, obviously desperate every week to get results, but that game, you're going away with your families, boys are shooting off back home. So you want to be going down there with a great kind of, great feeling, eh? And we managed to get that. And the feeling in the changing room was great after, because boys were just, you know, buzzing that we got over the line. You know, back up the road with the 3 points.
It's kind of like the not relying on other teams to give yourself favours now. It's now like,
no, yeah, we can't.
No, didn't want to think about the
yeah, teams. It's like stuff we just keep doing what we're doing now and then. Yeah.
Hey, you've got to, and that's not taking not for 1 minute. Is that taking teams lightly?
No,
because as was touched on, this league is really, really kind of unforgiving and really hard in terms of games can just turn on, you know, on one moment, and you can dominate games and get dragged into physical battles that you don't want to get dragged into, and that's what teams can do, bog you down in that. But, you know, we need to just kind of, as you say, focus on what we're doing and keep going.
I like the whole calmness and relaxing before it, even the calmness during the game. I kind of noticed that. And obviously, they were getting frustrated, and then Dundee were on a counter, and they were rugby tackling boys, Rudden and Williamson. They got a cut on, so they were getting frustrated. But it just looked like Dundee were just, we're in control here. Yeah, and obviously, there was the boy nearly lost the plot. You know, getting his red card. What was it, Bangala?
Yeah.
And a wee stromat, wee fisty cuffs in the corner.
I love that.
Big ashy like.
I just stay as far away from
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just
just an observer.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. It just seemed a calmness in the team there. It's actually good hearing it from somebody that was actually on the pitch.
Yeah. And not the fans.
Not the fans. I don't think the fans were calm. No,
they enjoyed themselves there.
Yeah,
constantly at my phone. couldn't enjoy my beer.
But no, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's a lie. I thoroughly enjoyed my beer.
You enjoyed your beer.
Nearly got through the pub when the first goal went in.
But the fans were fantastic. I've hope you know, season. That must give you that extra boost when you see them. They see the young team coming through and doing what they're doing to to get the atmosphere going. And that was like the players when they see that on the pitch.
Oh yeah, that is proper like special. And you always look at teams. It's probably again me looking into football and all this nonsense, but like you look at teams around the world, your Celtics, like I'm big on like Man United, like away fans and all that, like the travel, no matter what, like no matter what's happening, you've got to stick with it and keep being positive. And I know it's difficult at times, don't get me wrong, being a Dundee fan.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
it is so up and down. But if we get to that place where the fans like are right behind you, which I think we're getting to, I think we're actually at that point. You go back like defiant seasons where it was like special moments, then you've got bad periods that always happen at a football club. But if you stick, you know, just keep sticking with it, and as you say, the younger lads are bringing loads of atmosphere, and they're doing their own wee twists on things, and like that's what Dundee's about. You know what I mean? That kind of turning up no matter what, and the fans have been great. And as you say, to go down there on a Friday night, 2 days before Christmas, is credit to all the fans, you know what I mean, for going down. And the players and staff, they do honestly appreciate that. That's why obviously at the end we make a point of going across and appreciating what you do.
I like how you mentioned fans all over the world when you went to Glasgow and Manchester.
No way. Well, I was going to say that.
It's just because I've actually been
Buenos Aires.
I've been at those games recently. I went to the Celtic Real Madrid game, and I'm a big, you know, fan of Man U. So that's the only reason why. So, Glasgow and Manchester, you're right. But you know what I mean? Two big iconic clubs you think, tell you what, you know, the fans are always, probably because they win a lot, but. You know what I mean? They're always.
Paul's got a soft spot for Arsenal.
Right, okay, we'll not get into that.
So I haven't done myself any favours, I've got a soft spot for Everton. So Everton done. I'm not seeing.
Everton?
Yeah, my brother was an Everton fan. So
I've seen that yesterday.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Arsenal won last night.
So,
again, they're fine. But both my teams topped the league.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not getting ahead of myself.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely not.
I've not done the double yet.
No, yeah.
But yeah, we've got like I said, great to go down there. Luke McGowan, he's got his song with the fans. He was absolutely belting that. I noticed I went through the first goal, he was no one to celebrate, which is understandable. I think he came through the youth ranks there, maybe.
Yeah, I think he came through there. Yeah,
so it's like that stuff there, like that. Players don't want to celebrate. It doesn't really bother me if they don't, because you can understand why.
Really riles me at times.
Does it?
I want to see them celebrating, but then he did a wee article and you could see how much like he meant them, so you're like, I'll let them off.
See, I always remember, obviously, no, probably on the same lines, but Nacho Nova done it to us.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah,
I remember that day.
Swings it.
It does. And to be fair, as you say, I think Lukey came through air, so.
Yeah.
He's a good guy as well. Yeah. So.
Well, you enjoy yourself at the final whistle.
Yeah, exactly. You enjoy yourself at the final whistle.
You must have had a look and seen that all the air fans were gone. You know, maybe you had to witness this.
Can get away with this now.
The Dundee admin team videoing himself. But yeah, it was good to see him. Like you say, he's been kind of in and out. I think it's 10 first team starts and 10 subby appearances. Right, okay. So it's kind of like. Stop starting.
Yeah.
But there's always goals. There's goals in him.
No, yeah, even when we played there, when he was there, he was always one of the danger men. And I think there was a few clubs looking at him before he signed for us last year. So he's obviously got plenty of talent, and obviously that showed on Friday night.
On this pod, we've got a habit of liking other players to other, well, Dundee players to other like big names and all that. I mean,
yeah.
Like you've got Finlay's. Was it again?
Finiesta
and all that.
I call Burnley, it reminds me of Busquets.
Yeah, so stuff like that. But I'm more down to earth. I'm like, Max Anderson reminds me of Gavin Ray. And and Luke McGowan kind of reminded me of Greg Stewart, especially last season.
Yeah.
Who did you come and say was Mbappe the other week?
Mbappe?
He's called somebody Mbappe.
On the left. That was McCowan, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Was,
yeah.
Oh, well, look at it. He's got a mixture of Mbappe and Jack Stewart.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
We'll go with that, yeah.
But it's a fantastic win. Like I say, Celtic's on top of the league now. And then obviously the next game is going to be against Arbroath. But before we speak about that, well, I've got a short interview that we've done with the Community Trust and General Manager of Dundee, Greg Fenton.
Well, Greg, thanks for coming on. We'll go and give Cammy and Paul a little breather if they can go and have a wee cup of coffee and let us speak for a wee while. So, big news in recent month. The start of the women's and girls football team. Obviously, that's came out in your statement with the Trust for Christmas and everything. It's great to see that picking up ahead of steam. Also, but like, when do the, for the people that maybe haven't read it, when do the Trust hope to have like this up and running and competitive team on the pitch?
So if we go back a couple of years, we originally, our aim is always to have a women's first team with a fully functioned girls academy along with the girls community setup. So a couple of years back, when I became manager of the Community Trust, we set up a steering group with a lot of people on board that steering group, and they all gave their opinions and views and research and the best way for the Trust to run the full setup. Then obviously COVID hit. So a couple of months back, we finalised the details on how it's all going to look, and we are aiming for the full women's team to be set up no later than 2025. However, I fully believe it'll be quicker than that. There's a real appetite within the city, a real appetite within the local community. The enthusiasm shown by local businesses to get involved is fantastic. But we have to make sure that we do it in a prudent and financial, a good financial model, to make sure it can be a huge success. For not just for the club, but for the people involved. So we will take our time to make sure we get it right. However, I do believe it will be before year 2025. But that is the deadline we've given ourselves for the women's first team. But before that, we will have a fully functioning academy and also community setup.
That's fantastic. I was going to actually ask how the take-up was with the three sessions that you've put on for the women's. I take it it's been a positive.
Absolutely, it has been positive. So we've obviously got the women's recreational football and the community girls set up, which is all free, held at both Cardin Campus and the Regional Performance Centre, RPC. The take-up has been excellent, and it's part of this collaboration that we've got with the girls set up within the city. We don't want to come in and build those, all the good work that local clubs have done at the girls' level. We want a working collaboration with them, but we also are mindful that we are Dundee Football Club, and we will have a women's first team and a full girls set up in terms of the community and academy. But we don't want to annoy the local clubs, so we're doing this in collaboration with all the local sides, and they're fully aware of our ambition for the girls' game within the city. We are the only club in Scotland to be part of the Her Game 2 movement, which we showcased a couple of weeks back. So we're hoping that other clubs will follow in our footsteps and promote that. That is fantastic work that they do. And hopefully over the coming months and years ahead, we'll continue with the Her Game 2 movement and promote the girls' game.
Yeah, I was not. I never knew much about the Her Game 2 movement as well until obviously Dundee got involved, and I did have a wee look at it. And it seems to be massive down in England. It's plenty of clubs are involved with it back down there, and you see, just even going by the Twitter page, and the same people that are involved. I think the people that started up, the ambassadors, they call them, they're winning awards. And it's not like an award-based thing, really. They want to do what they get the women playing football. But it's good to see recognition for stuff like that. And it seems to be they're held in high regard as well. So it seems like a good thing for the club to collaborate with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great work by our business development manager, Declan, who has got in touch with Her Game 2 movement. They got in touch with ourselves. We spoke for a long period of time, and they were very keen to work with us. And then the club put together a video. So again, it's all about networking, trying to promote the girl and women's game up here in Scotland, and reach our ambition of having that fully functioned community academy and first team set up.
Oh, fantastic. Like, I've got a daughter, she's 2.5, and she is kicking a ball about all over the place. So she's not managed to get to the tiny tots yet, which I've seen is fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that the Trust are doing, which I'll maybe get you to just like rattle off like all of it if you want. But the tiny tots is a great thing, I think. A few of my friends go down there with their kids, and they said that as well. So you just see like even like a lot of girls running about kicking a ball, and hopefully I can see my daughter when doing that route and pulling on a Dundee top, something I wasn't able to do for obvious lack of skill reasons. But
no, honestly, that's, you've hit the nail on the head, Daniel. The whole aim of the Community Trust is to develop that pathway from birth right to your twilight years, and to try and get everybody connected with Dundee Football Club. Dundee Football Club is far more than just the first team. We are an institution within the city. We do all got a fantastic community trust, a fantastic academy, and that will be on both boys and girls academy, first team, male and female teams. So we are a lot more than just the male first team, and that's the plan that I've got for the football club and in terms of the community trust, is to harness that enthusiasm from the fans and get everybody involved in the whole club that we are, not just the first team.
Fantastic, mate. But the other big news, obviously, since we've last spoke, and well, say big news, it seems like it would be old news, but it was the move to the Gadding campus. It's I mean, could you talk us how that move happened, and also what the vision is for the club and the trust as well going forward at this at the campus, which, by the way, I've been at and is top notch. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it was a lot of work. So back in April 2021, well, before that, actually, when I became community manager of the Community Trust back in 2019, we had an agreement with the City Council that wasn't working with ourselves. So, and I think I explained this the last time I was on, we pretty much got rid of that. We started by ourselves. But through that process, I was looking at a home for the Community Trust, training facilities for the Community Trust. But the facilities had to be right for us and had to be right for the people that own it, in short. So I know people at the college. I used to be a student there back in the day. I seem very old now. so we got in touch with them back in April 2021. We got a partnership with them. So all the community trusts have their camps and classes within Gardine, which is fantastic for the students as well, to get the opportunity to showcase their skills that they've just learnt, and get that experience before they go into to get a job for themselves, that they can have that placement with the trust. So the partnership was all well and good. And then talks just came about between myself and the college staff in terms of could the club utilise Gardine. We got Gordon Strachan involved, John Elms was involved, and the three of us and the college made the move happen, and we moved in June this year. So it's an absolute milestone for the football club and for the Community Trust. It gives us a first-class facility to utilise. We're the only club in Scotland to have a full-size swimming pool, three games halls, two tactical rooms, media briefing rooms, community rooms, open plan office. I mean, the place is absolutely huge, exclusively just for the club and trust. It is a game changer. It helps Dundee Football Club modernise itself. Quite simply, Dens Park was not working in terms of the training side of things. And it did put players off. And that's been blunt as it can be. It did put players off. But since we moved to Gardine, we've had loan managers from clubs in the UK coming up to visit and liking what they're seeing. So you never know what might happen in the future in terms of that. But players are enjoying being at Gardine. We've now got chefs doing our meals for us, players sitting down, having their meals in our own canteen area. so they can do double training sessions in the afternoon, which improves their fitness and recovery in the pool and so on. So it's an absolute game changer for the football club, and it is, I don't want to attempt fate, but you're starting to see the fruition of it with results, touch wood.
always touch wood. But it does, Dundee, I've never had like a training centre home, really, is it? It's always been like, I think, Caird Park, and also you got the Regional Performance Centre, and I think for a while back in the early 2000s, it was the Michelin they were down there, and they've just never seemed to have a place of their own. And even though it just feels weird that we've actually got a place that's like when you can call like your own. But it's great because it does seem, and it gives the feeling that the club's moving forward behind the scenes. Even though at the start of the season when we moved there, results were kind of stuttery and all that, but off the field it was kind of, like you say, it was a little bit stuttery, but I'm stuttering like mad here, but behind the scenes it seemed to be kind of coming together that way, like you say, attracting players as well to the club. They'd come down and see that it's got to be one that's better than like maybe going around the facilities at Dens Park, because like you say, they definitely weren't up to standards.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I mean, it's important for the club to put in the physical infrastructure, and that's just more than the grass pitch. That is your tactical rooms. That's your canteen facilities where the chef can make the healthy meals. So the whole team, including development squad, have the right nutrition. It's also important to put the human infrastructure in place, and that's what we've now got. We've now got the offices to have, so we can bring in the best of staff to help progress this club forward. We have got fantastic staff at Dens. They've now got the facilities to enhance the club now. So it's an absolute game changer for this football club. There's going to be big PR about Gardine again in early January, showcasing the partnership with the college, and with the trust putting in a huge investment within the Gardine facility. It will not only help the first team, it'll help the women's team, the community trust, the academy, etc. So it's huge for Dundee Football Club, and it puts us into the elite clubs within Scotland. If you think of Scottish clubs that have a training facility, you could probably count it on one hand. And it puts us up there, that we're all based there on site. We're not just going to Dens and driving to Michelin or Riverside or wherever. Everybody, all staff, is at Gardine, and it keeps the togetherness within the club.
So the trust, it seems like they're going from strength to strength, and I think I'm right in saying that the community trust is a way to spend, I think, in the region of 900,000 on upgrades to the campus, like your Astro pitches and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, kind of going back in time a wee bit, and I kind of briefly mentioned it in a couple of minutes ago, the community trust have always had to rent an AstroTurf pitch during the winter months. Now, of course, spiraling within the city council, etc., it was costing the community trust an absolute fortune to put on free classes or even paid classes. So what we've decided to do is to build ourselves a home. Now, this is a part of the wider plan that myself, John, the club all have. But we want an East Hub. Now, the East Hub just now is currently Gardine. And with that, we'll be building a fully floodlit 3G Astro pitch, which will give our community programmes a home, a base, as well as our girls' academy and ladies' team. And it can be rented out by the academy, the club, etc. But the college will get to use it during the day as well for their own students to enhance their learning. So it's going to be a real community asset. It's a huge project. We've got very tight timescales. We are in a position to announce the contractor in January, who'll be carrying out the works for us. They've got huge experience delivering these type of Astros. So again, a lot of work has been done in this behind the scenes. And now it's just a job for myself and the business development manager, Declan, to find the £900,000. Now, a lot of that will presumably be in grants, but they'll also be donors as well, putting putting funds forward, because we've got a very exciting case and an exciting project that people want to be part of. It's this whole partnership with the Dundee College is very unique, and there are people there that want to be part of it. So again, it's enhancing the club, it's enhancing the community trust, it's enhancing our community presence. But I ideally hope that will encourage more children to support the club, and then that cycle then can continue from that. So again, it's moving away from just the first team results and helping build this case of everything that the club and trust does. And who would have thought it 3 years ago that the community trust would be in a position to build basically a £1 million project. I would have laughed at you 3 years ago, but that shows you the level the community trust is now at, that we do have the ability now to build these types of projects.
Yeah, like I said, we've spoke a couple of times since you've took over, and us went strength to strength, and from just being probably based at Dens to now, we're going home in the campus, and like you just said there, we're going to be shy of £1 million spending on Astros, and it is amazing. Something, and even going further back as a club, I mean, even look 5, 6, 7, I can keep saying numbers 8, 9, 10 years ago. you wouldn't have expected this from the club. So it is, honestly, some people probably don't realise just like how far on this has came since day one. It's to me, it's fantastic. I love hearing about the upgrades and what's happening, because it always seems to be something. You're always doing something.
I know. Tell me about it. The big black bags underneath my eyes. show that, mate. Honestly,
I would have blamed that on just having a heavy Christmas, but. But the trust again. They offer plenty of other free sessions. I mean, do you want to kind of just go over some of them, like your walking football and think the under 12s and stuff like that? There's plenty that the trust offer. It's it's not just a case of there's a training facility. There's more to that.
Absolutely. So the community trust has a number of pillars. So it's education and wellbeing, football, and also criminal justice as well. So within that, there are free sessions and paid sessions. Now, all the free sessions are backed by either donors or businesses. That then means that these sessions can be free for the community. So some of them are in partnership with NHS. We've got a huge contract with NHS who we do Come Dine with D. That's all about healthy eating and nutrition and exercise. We've got Fit Football Fans in Training coming out in January. So if you do want to get fitter in January, you can come along to Guard Dine and get support by our staff and get put on fitness programs. We also do educational programs. So we go into schools, I think it's every Monday and Tuesday. Players get selected. So the manager's really big on community presence. So two players get picked and they go to schools and they read books to children, promoting reading, but also promoting the club and trust, which is great. We've got our 1883 education program, which was endorsed last Christmas by the Scottish Parliament, and congratulated with the work that we do with that project. But this year, especially because of the tough times that everybody's facing, with the cost of living crisis, the energy crisis, we thought, We have to do something here. We're all based at Guard Dine, and yet we have an empty space at Dens. Monday to Friday, there's only a handful of staff that are still working out at Dens, maintenance and grounds team staff. The actual main stand and the lounges aren't getting used Monday to Friday. And yet there's people struggling to put their heating on inside their house. And I seen a clip on social media, which I shared, and You could not be moved by that. It was really upsetting hearing that people are generally struggling to put their heating on and frightened in case they died in their house due to the cold. So we as a trust decided, look, we have to do something. So we're offering a winter support programme in partnership with the SBFL Trust and Age UK. So we're opening up dens once or twice a week at the very start, and if there is demand, we'll open it up more. And we will be given hot meals, put the TV on, we'll have the heating on, and this is all backed by the club. John and Tim are really supportive of this, and we will be here every single step of the way to help people within our community. Whether you support Dundee or if you don't, we'll still be here. Further to that, D for Life have come forward, and I thank D for Life. They're providing hot water bottles as well. So every individual will have blankets and hot water bottles. So collectively and together as one, we are helping the most vulnerable within our community. With that, we'll be doing tours next year within Dens, showcasing the history of the club, absolutely, but also gives people the chance just to come inside into the warmth and spend an afternoon learning about football or blethering with our staff or with other individuals that will come to our winter support. So this is another huge project at the Community Trust that we've taken on. But we are always here for everybody, whether you're young and going into further education or struggling to get into education, we'll help you out there. Whether you want to get fitter, we've got walking football, etc., if you're in your twilight years. But with this winter support, it does show that we can help anybody that needs the help.
Absolutely tremendous, Greg. Honestly, you take your hat off to yourself and the club, like you say, John and Tim as well, for doing this, because I mean, it's madness right now. The cost of living for some people and heating your home. I mean, I know myself, it's probably trebled, maybe a little bit more, like the cost of gas and electricity, and that's it is really, really like mental out there. people are struggling, so I think it's probably the best way to describe that. Eh? And it's not even like a tongue-in-cheek, oh, it's mental. It really is. It's it seems like a bit of a sad joke that we're kind of hit like maybe the coldest winter we've had in 10 years as well when this is all happening. December's passed and January's passed, but when we had a couple of fleeting days of snow, and then that was it. And it's been a mild winter. And then this year, when everything happened and people are struggling, like you say, I've seen that clip. It's heart-wrenching, isn't it? And you're going to have plenty of people in Dundee like that, because like Dundee isn't a really rich city. So there will be people probably worse off than that. So like you say, if you're listening to this and know somebody that is struggling, then there we go. Like, get themselves down to Dens Park, the doors will be open. Just like you say, even just to get in, warm yourself up, hot water bottle, cup of tea, coffee, something. You know, and it be good as well for, on another side, somebody's mental health, because they're getting out the house, they're not in the coldness of the house. So there's plenty of factors that go into even just opening the doors. It's just helping out different people.
Absolutely, Danny. And we had that over the Christmas period. So we had our festive friends. We had our Christmas meal at Dens. We had a primary school, Dens Park, Dens Road Primary School, come up to do Christmas carols for everybody at the festive friends. We had a Christmas meal, fun games, and gifts to give out to the individuals invited along for that. So again, it shows you we are very much a community club. We have one of the largest football memory programs as well. Where we have guests such as Ian Ure, Gordon Strachan, they've all attended speaking about their playing days, and all the stories associated to that, which were fantastic to hear. But it does show you that Dundee Football Club has changed. We are firmly a community club now, and we're starting to get the recognition now that we fully deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and rightfully so. Rightfully so, mate. But going forward for the Trust, what are the goals are you looking to hit for the Community Trust? And have you got any maybe new ventures that you maybe want to try out or look at achieving?
So there won't be too much more in terms of new programmes. I think we've announced everything in terms of programmes related for this coming year, 2023. we've just announced the Astro, so there'll be a lot of updates and statements in regards to the construction of the Astro from contractors, donors, etc. We have been on an incredible growth the last 3 years. It is not sustainable to continue that growth. So what we're going to do is kind of steady ourselves, make sure the foundations are securely in place now. We've got, but when I first started, I was the only full-time member of staff at the Community Trust. We've now got 4 or 5 full-time staff now, maybe even 6, and a number of part-time staff. So that shows you the growth that we've been on. Every single member of the Community Trust is on a living wage as well. We're a living wage employer. So, and all our staff get free access to gyms, etc. And we need to look after our staff because it's our staff that put themselves on the line day in, day out, and deliver programmes such as the winter support, etc. So it's, we have to make sure that the foundations are in place. And then once the Astro is built, we can then continue the growth again. So this year, there won't be too much in terms of programmes. It will just be construction of the Astro and carry on with our women's football, etc. So might get a wee breather.
I was just going to say, I'm surely nobody will begrudge you from maybe just doing with what you're doing now and not adding anything else to it, because there's a lot of stuff that you've been doing. And I think we can let you off. But obviously the trust isn't just your only role. You're now the general manager of Dundee Football Club. Obviously I spoke to you before that, but obviously congratulations on that. That's fantastic, mate.
Thank you.
But for maybe people that don't know, I mean, what does that job comprise of?
So yeah, just like a wee bit of background to it. It wasn't just an overnight decision by the club. It's been a couple of years in the planning. Me and John spoke about it many moons ago, and then myself and Gordon spoke about it, and then we decided probably in March, April time that was probably time to come on board as general manager with the restructuring, etc. So it's an absolute privilege to be general manager of a club that you supported all your life. It's an absolute dream job. It's a job that I give my damnedest to every single day. What does the job comprise of? Well, it's basically day-to-day running of the football club. Everything from budget, supporting heads of each department, making sure that the director's vision is on track, helping our recruitment department with the needs that they need. But my whole vision is to try and modernise the football club. And again, Gardine is part of that plan that we've got within the senior management of the club. So yeah, a dream job, exciting, and I'm very lucky to be part of it.
I know, the envy of a lot of people until you mentioned everything that you had to do. It's like,
yeah, but it's full on.
I would like the job title, just know what went with it. But well, with that, but obviously the past few years we've been looking at new plans for a proposed new stadium. We've had a few public events surrounding it. Is there anything you're able to tell us, like where we're at the stage at the stadium, planning wise? And I think was it a pre-approved application, or I can't remember the actual term for it, but any light you can shed on this?
Well, I'm not a employee of Dark Blue Property Holdings, so I can only speak on behalf of Dundee Football Club. And what I can say is that the meetings that I've been part of, it's something very special that we're building, and Dark Blue Property Holdings is building. I remember when I first got shown the designs inside and out by John and Tim and CA Icon, that our partners involved, I got a tear in my eye, because it is quite incredible to see us moving into this fantastic facility. I think John has said everything that needs to be said on that. I'm very much dodging the bullet on this one, it's all going it's all going well. We've had our third consultation in September past, we're moving along nicely with it. So yeah, it's exciting times, very exciting for this football club.
So obviously, if a chief executive of the trust, you'll have your own goals and aims for the community trust. But as a general manager of Dundee, is there anything that you are looking forward to or would like to achieve within this role?
Yeah, so my overall aim is just to modernise the football club. That's from fan engagement. So myself and John have met D4Life numerous times since the summer. We've continued that dialogue with them. Recently, we wrote a letter back to them outlining the concerns that they had. So that's been dealt with. I've also introduced mascot, Snappy D. And with that, the plan is to increase the number of mascots as well for the games. Flag bearers behind the goals. So when we score a goal, the ball boys and girls wave their flags. It's just improving the overall image of the football club and trying to modernise it. That can be helped with by Gardine and trying to make us the best club we possibly can be within the financial budgets that we've got. Because I know how good we can be. Some people say I might be a bit too ambitious, but I don't think there's anything wrong in that. This year alone, I've met a number of... I've been away to a number of different clubs, seen how they do things. And next year, I'm away to America to see clubs across there, including the City Football Group. They've invited me. So it's all about taking ideas, see what other clubs are doing, see if you can put it within our own model. And trying to improve the club on and off the field. Now, as I said way back at the start, Dundee Football Club is a lot more than just the first team results. We will be having women's team. We've got a great community trust. We've got an academy with a performance school now, and we're starting to see that come to fruition with the amount of investment within our academy. So the club is doing it's fantastic behind the scenes. It couldn't be stronger. And we've now got a recruitment department that we've never had before. So again, we're going in the right direction on everything. It's just now a case of maintaining that and striving to be the best that we can be.
Can I tell you one thing you've done wrong, though? Is that okay?
Oh, on you go, mate.
You never give D-Walk a final farewell.
I know.
You've got to bring him back just one time, just centre circle and a wee wave. And if we've got a nice sunny day in May, well, if we do something special this year in the league, you get him out. Just one last time, one last one song, I can.
Right, okay. If that happens, then we can have a conversation about that.
I hope you know what I need to go into the suit.
Well, that was part of the contract.
I'll no lie, I'll be intoxicated because if it is what it's going to be, come I'll be in the pub well beforehand. No, but Greg, thank you very much for coming on, mate. I really appreciate that. A lot of things to speak about. And like you say, down the road when there's more stuff happening with the trust and also with the project that you're looking to start, we'll get you back on again and we can just see how that's going on and how the projecting for the women's team and girls team as well is happening. Have you on anytime, mate. I love speaking about the community trust stuff. So yeah, thank you very much for taking time out to come and speak to us on the podcast.
No, thank you. And I listen to your podcast every week, so it's an absolute delight to be on, mate. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, I'll let you go and we'll bring Cammy and Paul back in to waffle on about the up and coming Arbroath game.
So next up, it's Arbroath at Dens on the 2nd of January. It's a game when you look at the league, Cammy, you might find top versus second bottom. It could just be run-of-the-mill Dundee victory. But to me, I think Arbroath are in a kind of false position with the players that they've got. I think they've had a bad season, but I think they've got players there that can certainly cause... an upset, just because of the positions. Mm-hmm. I know that they've got a lot of injury problems. I think they're missing boys like Scott Allen at the weekend. I don't know what the extent is, but I still feel like they can get something. I think it's 5 draws in 6 games. So, I mean, there could be the potential there of them nicking a draw. But what about yourself? Are you kind of the same mindset, seeing like they know what they're capable of?
Yeah, especially after what they've done last year. Mm-hmm. And people look at Arbroath and they go, right, they're part-time, you know, if they stay up, they're punching above their weight. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the way I look at Arbroath now. You look at Arbroath and you go, they were, what, one game, two games away from playing in the SPL?
Yeah.
You have...
Well, 1.45 minutes, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You have the majority of the team still there. Fair enough, a few boys have moved on and they've lost boys in, you know, strong positions for them when they had, like, Nubley and the boy Hamilton, who I thought were really influential for them. And I think what they've done from the end of last season to this year is I've tried to probably, again, kick on and because I think they've got players that actually train full-time and that are in kind of Arbroath all the time, there all the time. So they're trying to go up again that level. And again, that can be difficult to adjust to. But they're a strong team, I think, who can never be taken lightly because they've got really, you know, top talents in their team. They've obviously still got Bobby, Tam O'Brien, who had been linked to SPL clubs.
And McKenna.
McKenna, who's a really good, honestly, really I think they've player. Got really good players in their team. Especially when you go, I know the game's at Dens, but when you certainly go down to Gayfield, you know, regardless of the weather, they're a strong team and they're very good at what they do. And that's not saying that the way they play is wrong because you play to win football games. You play to win, of course. And they've not done that as many times as they'd like, but they're still definitely a force that, you know, you can't take lightly, especially their manager as well. He knows the game inside out. As much as old school way it may be, or it's all about man management with him, he gets the best out of every player he has, and that's what he's always done. So it's a massive game. I'm seeing it as a massive game, so should everyone else, so that'll be the way it'll be.
Mm-hmm. I was at that game, that Gayfield, the one all behind the goal, still kind of believe that Bobby's free kick managed to go in.
It was just again one of these moments that, you know, can change games. We started so well early goal, had another, I think, 1v1, and they went and scored. So it's the way it is. So we need to make sure we're certainly on it come Saturday. Monday, sorry.
Always thought about Gayfield, no matter what it's like, sunny, rain, it's always windy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was the first time I was there. The sun was splitting the pavement, a beautiful day, and then you just seen the ball getting, say, legs, and then kicking the ball, and it just went, whew.
It's just, yeah.
It was a pre-season game, so I think it was when... Randy Walters.
McCann's, yeah.
Yes. And it was scorching in Dundee.
Big Randy.
Went to the game, Gayfield, and it was still sunny and hot, but still came away really cold. Right on that side to the CA.
Yeah,
so.
It's a tough place to play at times. So, I mean, even as you want to win every game, but sometimes going there and you get a point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the scale of things that day, the weather and everything, that was probably not a bad point. As much as you don't want to admit, you know, you obviously want to win every game, but you'd rather come away with something than nothing, especially at Gayfield.
Yeah. I mean, that game, the boys, the lads at Hospitality, me and Paul. I want to see if you score a goal and assist. I want to be finger point up to the director's block. Just point the finger.
To the boys.
Yeah. Aye, you'll probably not even realise anyway because we'll be at the bottom of a few empty bottles of beer.
Copious
amount.
Copious amounts of beverages.
Cannot wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm also joking for it. I've got two ties to decide on. I'm like, what tie am I going to wear? Most Dundeeans are smart as.
The one that you can tie.
Well, I'll be none of them then. I'm sure Les is.
No, but looking forward to the game regardless if we're in Hospitality or not. I think it's a great game for the club to come up against, especially in the run of form we've got. I think George Grant from the Tully, so is it we equaled the amount of games won since 1974? And if we win, again, no pressure, can't make, but if we win again, I think it puts us in between the amount of games won, I think it's 61-62 team.
All right, so okay. They won 10,
So...
any pressure, Cam?
I was going to say, yeah, no pressure. To be honest, like, you've got your records and that, but just want to win the game.
Yeah,
and that hopefully, you know, they records or whatever, they're just part and parcel as you go. So I don't think the boys, definitely, I know they don't look into the things. They're obviously nice to have. Yeah. And if we get that, then we get that. But
it's good to find out after.
Yeah, it's good to know these things, obviously. You're sitting in the change room, by the way, we've equaled or beat that, that'd be great. Mm. But just have to deal with what's in front of us first and then go and get the win.
It's like the Cali game, first league win up there.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That's bonkers, that.
2004.
Playing a few games up there as well, so that's no great for me. But
doing the half game, the amount of games that we have been ahead.
Up there, we're 2-0 up there. Yeah,
and they've went away and scored. And even there was one that I just done. D.B. Clarkson scored the goal, and right from kickoff.
Mm-hmm. What was that, 1-1?
1-1, Graham Shinney scored.
We played in the Hangar Records.
Yes,
one.
The
Argentina. I remember that, yeah.
But there's a few games up there, and it just seems to be like... Yeah, you're looking at the match report by James Christie as well, and it just seems to be don't even gift it to them or something, or like Cali just being Cali, they've got a hoodoo over us. Well, no, nil, but they just seem to always get an equaliser.
I couldn't believe it was that when it was said in the restroom after, and I was like,
And the Falkirk Stadium. I think that was the first victory.
Oh, was it? First victory there, yeah.
Also, one in abundance in the Brockville, but it was the first victory there as well.
Last time, what was it? Well, that was Barry's, third game? I remember being at that. That was the Defiance, he's 3-3.
That was an amazing game, yeah.
We lost the goal. Whitaveen, did he score, did he?
Yep. Yeah. I think he scored two, I think. I'd like to say two.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put my quote on that, but...
Go for it.
I'll just say two.
Yeah,
I'll say
he did. Go for it.
But yeah, that was a good game. I think I missed Lee Griffiths. No, Lee Griffiths scored two. That was it. He scored the third goal.
Yeah.
I missed Griffiths' first goal. Went in. Then I think Falkirk scored. And then Griffiths scored again. And then it was just a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was good.
And then you had everybody in fancy dress going over the advertising board as well when they decided to go into the park.
That was one thing at the air game. I think it's the first goal. You just see a boy dressed as Santa. He just he jumps over the board and then just runs back through the gate.
It's the older boy. I don't know if you've seen that. It was the older boy with a bald head.
He was in the celebration right in the middle, wasn't he?
First time I watched the highlights, it was like an eternity getting over that advertising board, and then he stumbled when he got on, but then he eventually got into the mix that we all use.
Yeah, he was straight in, wasn't he? Love it. I absolutely love it.
It's always the elder ones. Mm. Everybody goes on about the youngins. It's always the elder ones that are the worst.
Mm. Either way.
It's the 80s, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you've got the pitch all the time in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I'm obviously, because we've got Cammy here, I might have to tone it down a wee bit, but I'm quietly confident about the second.
Well,
quietly. That's all I'm going to say.
Can I take that confidence away from you?
Why?
I've been at hospitality. I think this will be my ninth time.
Oh, no.
And Dundee have never won when I've been at hospitality.
Well, we need to change that then. There we go.
We do.
We've lost eight and drew one.
You know why? Because I've not been there.
You've
I'll be your lucky charm.
Right, thank you. So
that's what we're going with.
That's
right.
It. We'll go with that.
Yeah. I think the only thing we've never lost is Queen of the South in the Cup. It was 1-1.
Oh, and then we went down there.
We went down there. And yeah, that was the only time that we've never lost. Every other time, God.
Every game's been a defeat bar that one.
Yes,
come on, I'm going with you now.
I've sponsored my mate, he sponsored the Ross County game last season. Went 1-0 up, I think it was Rudden scored the goal. And then I thought, this is going to be, because I was sitting beside Alan Patillo and all that, and I thought, this is it, exercising the demons, and then it never happened. I thought I was going to flung out the stadium at one point. Because a lot of few people know, when we scored, I was like, hospitality, and we've won, by the way, and we're winning 1-0. And then I went 2-1, and I just looked around and seen the eyes looking at me. I'm like, tough job this man standing.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Now I know how the manager feels sometimes, because his dugout's right behind the main stand. Oh, I know. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Well, hopefully we can change that for you in a second.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be a good day anyway. They're big, you know what I mean? Two local teams, it'll be a big game, so we need to go and hopefully do the business.
And they bring a decent crowd as well.
Yeah, that'll be a good
show. Yeah, like the last thing of the
World
Cup game,
so. Oh, there was 700 or something like that. Yeah. Nah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Can't wait.
Very much looking forward. Like I say, I'm under no illusions that it's going to be a tough game as well. It's got its stumbling points as well potentially, but I think real competent.
Yeah, yep.
Good. Cammy's got his media tone on, so
I've got
every game as it comes.
Every game as it comes, you're right. That's it,
definitely.
But yeah, Cammy, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
No problem, thanks for having me on. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, I enjoyed it.
And like you say, we've got a player interview coming up, and again, I mean, I'll try and act like it's going to be a big unveiling, but
yeah,
it's not going to
You're
be.
You're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, who's it going to be?
Sure, we'll find out.
Well, yeah, we'll come back next week after the, obviously, the Arbroath game, and to who have we got after that, actually?
I mind.
I can't mind either.
I'm like Cammy, I only look at the
one
next
game. At a time.
One game at a time.
Exactly.
Dunfermline, isn't it? Something like that.
Go be that.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the team. Yeah. It's in the Challenge Cup.
Challenge Cup,
yeah. And so, yes, so we'll give a wee preview of that. Look over the Arbroath game. But yeah, we'll be back. And so hopefully everybody had a nice Christmas and a happy new year.